I just love getting unfiltered and unfettered. And now, here's Tony and Fran.
UFUF 57 from the Monolith Studio 1B. We are up and running with your appropriately humble, very repentant co-host, Tony the Bully Opinionist, along with my incredibly prompt co-host, the Pope of the podcast, Sir Francis One. Fran, good evening. I'm rattled before we even get started.
Yeah, you need to collect yourself. What's going on there, bud?
I do need to collect myself.
Technical difficulties got you scrambled, dude.
Technical difficulties. I've been lamenting for the last 2 days the death of music, which has really got me down.
Whoa, what?
The death of music.
The death of music.
Yeah.
What, are they sending Justin Bieber back to Canada or something? What?
That would be a plus. You know, I saw some documentaries recently and realized the bands that I grew up with, I would say you grew up with, but I know you're not the big music guy that some of us are.
Yeah, I mean, I would recognize most of the ones you say, but I wasn't a heavy listener.
But you know, bands that we had growing up with, like Fleetwood Mac, the Eagles, even the other day I saw a thing on AC/DC, you know, Led Zeppelin, bands that had, whether you liked them or not, were incredible musicians. They could play
Play the instruments, right. That's right.
Okay.
Right.
I had an occasion recently to see Alison Krauss in concert. Not a big Alison Krauss fan. Blew me away. The musicianship, the way these people played. And today we got this, and I know this will upset my son, but, you know, we got this kind of hip-hop, non-musical nonsense, I call it. Yeah. I don't know what to say.
There's a few guys out there, you know, roaming around that can play.
There are still some great musicians, but...
We went to see Bon Jovi and what's his name there? Johnny Resnick's band opened for them.
Oh, yeah. They're great, from Buffalo, of the Goo Goo Dolls.
Goo Goo Dolls. He can play.
Love the Goo Goo Dolls.
He can play. Like, he changed guitars like three times through that one song. The dude can play. You know, Sambora from Bon Jovi can play. But
I mean, there's some.
Yeah,
Fighters. Dave Grohl's a tremendous musician. So there's some left. But it's not like in the days growing up where even, like, for some bands like, for example, Supertramp or the band I already mentioned, Rumors, Fleetwood Mac, which I wasn't crazy about. Yeah. But if you saw them in concert or heard their music, they're great musicians.
Well, that was the standard. You had to be a musician. Now you really don't have
to. You have to master
electronics and technology.
Of course, maybe we shouldn't point the finger when two knuckleheads like us are creating a podcast.
As my father would say, you can't carry tune in a bucket. So, yeah.
You know, there was a day when two knuckleheads like us couldn't do this, Francis.
Well, that's true.
Maybe I should be careful. All right, lots of great things going on in the world. You know, a little calmer than it's been the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, depending. I mean, you know, we're not going to really talk about Israel tonight, but that's only getting bloodier and more heated.
Calmer in terms of we've only got the same crises that we had
last
week.
There's nothing new. Yeah, that's true. Although we do have a new deal tonight.
Well, let me tell you what. And I'm going to say this right now. We've got a version of Who Said That tonight that I trust that Fran will be able to take this. I don't want to turn anybody into a retard by blowing some circuits. Because
I'm already there.
It's a double entendre Who Said That tonight. I know Francis has got the brain power to deal with it. If you start listening to it and you feel a little heat, turn it off.
We're not
responsible. Because we have a version of Who Said That Tonight that goes double levels. And we'll do that when we get there.
I have to say, when I opened, what people probably don't know is that the majority of the real funny bits come out of your demented mind. And so it's always with, like, anticipation when I open the script to see, when I saw this one on here tonight, I cannot wait to do this.
It is going to be a lot of fun. So we got Shotgun and News, some hardcore politics, going to revisit some immigration issues, a bully pulpit, so I think we're going to have a lot of fun.
Okay, boys, let's get started. Give me both barrels and shotgun that news.
Francis, we had a ruling about the cross at Crown Zero.
Yeah.
We've actually talked about this on the podcast before.
Surprising ruling, I thought. I mean, especially since all the, you know, all the conservatives in the country that are on the airwaves, they rail against the liberal activist courts, and yet the very liberal activist courts they rail about just said, no, the cross can remain at Ground Zero because, and I quote, it's a historic symbol of hope. That's unprecedented if the court is as liberal as...
A little bit, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Because they're saying that the Christian cross is the historic symbol of hope. I happen to agree with that for the majority of people who see it, understand what it is. I'm just stunned that this so-called liberal activist courts that everyone's screaming and crying about would make such a ruling. I mean, it just seems surprising. I think it's the right one. I just think it's surprising that...
It's a symbol of hope.
Symbol. I mean, bless but think them. About that. Think about...
Yeah,
you know, because
yeah,
you know,
no, I'm
I mean,
good with
you,
it. Yeah.
You know as well as I do, when a court makes a ruling, that damn thing is now historic, no matter
right,
what.
Right, it becomes a part of the legal record, yada, yada.
And they've just said the Christian symbol of religion is a historic symbol of hope. I think that's important.
It is.
I'm surprised. You know, I'm just surprised. I'm surprised that like liberal outlets like MSNBC and other places weren't railing about that. You know what I mean? Like I've not really heard anything about it.
I've neither.
It just stunned. I mean, it's an amazing ruling. Again, I think it's the right one, but I just think their wording was just so. I just found it unbelievable.
Probably trying to sneak into heaven. All right, next.
That's true.
All right, Fran, a guy that I like, quite frankly.
Yeah.
I think perhaps we both like him, but he got himself to a little hot water this last week.
Yeah, Stephen A. Smith, he's an old Philly guy. So, I mean, I grew up reading his stuff in the Philadelphia Daily News.
So the story is a guy for the Baltimore Ravens, a running
Ray
back,
Rice.
Ray Rice, who's been kind of a stand-up guy, really.
Right.
Got himself on video, basically dragging his wife out of an elevator
unconscious. Yeah, and she was his fiance. This is important.
Yes,
she was his fiance at that moment. They're now married. You know, so
he got suspended 2 games. So of course, part of the big controversy comes in. He only got suspended 2 games,
right?
For dragging an unconscious woman out of an elevator.
And let's be clear. There's no dispute. He's the one who made her unconscious.
Yeah, no doubt.
It ain't like she fell asleep and he's dragging her to the house.
And so Stephen A. made a comment on it. I actually have the clip here. Let's go ahead and take a listen.
But what I've tried to employ the female members of my family, some of who you all met and talked to and what have you, is that, again, and this is what I've done this all my life, let's make sure we don't do anything to provoke wrong actions. Because if I come... or somebody else come, whether it's law enforcement officials, your brother, or the fellas that you know, if we come after somebody has put their hands on you, it doesn't negate the fact that they already put their hands on you. So let's try to make sure that we can do our part in making sure that that doesn't happen.
Okay, Fran, so of course the controversy there is he made inference that a woman provokes
provoke her own
the
being,
violence.
Right.
Yes.
And if you saw him when you said it, you could see the look on his face because this happened on ESPN's First Take.
Right.
And so when you see him, you could see that he realizes he's already a half a shovel too deep into this. And surprisingly, Skip Bayless, who's the biggest douche on the planet, tried to save him at the end. I don't know if you listen to that to the end. Bayless is trying to find a trap door for him to get out of, and he just won't take it because he's bumbling and stumbling and fumbling over what he's now trying to correct, and it gets into a lot of mumbo jumbo at the end. But
well, I mean, Stephen A. is known for having his own opinion and putting it out there.
He's fairly bombastic, and he throws out these opinions. It's not the first time he said this particular thing either, but it comes on the heels of this Ray Rice deal, and a lot of people, including for the first time, I think, ESPN employees criticizing one of their own. I mean, that's pretty verboten at the mothership that they criticize their other shows. And Michelle Beadle, who's on Sports Nation on ESPN, came out pretty strong.
Right, right.
And she lit into him. And, I'm just surprised it took so long. I mean, it went the weekend. That happened on a Thursday, I think, or Friday. And it took till Monday before ESPN even made a statement. And then it took till today formally gets suspended, or last night, I guess. And I'm going to say this, and people can think or say whatever you want about me, and I don't really care. If that was a white guy, his ass was fired Friday.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Absolutely sure. Is. Now, part of that is Stephen Smith's credentials. This is not some jerkweed cub reporter saying this. I mean, this guy's he's a national writer. He's nationally known. But you think about some of the missteps that guys have made on ESPN. And it's even been reported that he only got a week. They've been suspending guys from ESPN, particularly from their Baseball Tonight crew. And both those dudes were white.
Yeah.
And
they
didn't even say anything on the air. It was for other conduct. And they got one guy got fired. The other guy got suspended for a month.
Right.
So Steve Williams was the guy who got busted out. Got fired. So, you know, I think...
you know, of course, I'm on record on this podcast as saying we need to quit busting people over the chops for speaking their mind over really what it wasn't the thing to say.
Right.
He should not have said that.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, we've all said things that after we said them, we said that was probably, let me use the politically correct phrase, I was inarticulate in my statement.
Yeah. and his apology on Monday on First Take, you know, they did a pre-recorded apology. It wasn't even actually part of the live show. You know, he was pretty sincere, and he said that. He said, you know, it was the most egregious thing of my career, and, you know, and...
And he's bombastic. The bit is called First Take,
right,
which is to get his...
Yeah, your initial
his
opinions.
His kind of unvarnished opinions on things, and he's... I love to listen to him. I think he's got a great voice. Yeah. I think he's very expressive. You know, I just think we overreact. Yeah. Like, I don't believe that anyone is going to go out and slap their wife or beat their woman because Stephen A. Smith said that.
Right. And they're not going to lose. And this is the bigger issue. It's not like they're going to lose appreciable viewership to dent their pocketbook.
Uh-uh.
Because that's what ESPN's worried about. Let's face it. They're not really, they don't care
about their
image. They care about their viewership.
It goes back to the thing where, you know, just come out and say, okay, you know, that's something that, you know, I was trying to be a little provocative. I was expressing my own views about people in situations, not necessarily maybe women that shouldn't provoke, but anybody in a volatile situation that maybe should not provoke it further, or whatever he might have said.
Right.
Right. But this goes back for me to the Rush Limbaugh thing, where they hired Rush Limbaugh and then fired him for the first controversial thing he said.
Which is what the hell did you hire him for?
Right.
They hired him to be controversial, and yeah.
I mean, bunch of assholes.
Yeah.
What do you think you're doing?
But that's the point, though.
Well, yeah,
that goes back to my point.
Yeah.
At ESPN, when you say something controversial, if you're white, you're fired.
Oh, yeah.
Stephen A. Smith gets a week off from listening to Skip Bayless, right?
Yeah, right.
So ESPN First Take, he's a co-host with Skip Bayless, so we don't have to listen to him for a week. By the way, he still has his radio show on Sirius XM, so it's not like he's going to be sitting home not collecting money.
Yeah.
He's going to just be on his radio show. He won't have to do First Take for a week. I mean, I agree with you. I don't think he should be suspended over that. But the problem is they've already thrown that rock, right?
Sure.
There's too many guys who've been suspended for way less.
Absolutely.
Guys who've been fired for way less. And, you know,
he
gets a pass.
I agree. It's all our PC-ness, our racial sensitivities. It is a sign that we are the Roman Empire on the way down. Let's face it. All right, next. All right, Fran, a female volleyball player, I believe is from Kazakhstan, has been declared too beautiful to compete.
Okay, if this is not a sign of the apocalypse, I don't know what is. And this is by her own coach doing this. This is her own team saying, we can't have her on the team, she's too good looking. I think his quote was, you know, they had a match with somebody.
And everybody just stared at her.
Right, it became about her and everyone cheered. Well, you're not there to get cheered, you're there to win, and the girl can help you win. What does it matter?
Did you check her out on YouTube?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did
too.
She's
good. I mean, look.
She's pretty. I mean,
no doubt. Yeah, she's pretty. But, I mean, show-stopping pretty? I think these people...
She's no better than my girl, Carrie Walsh.
Yeah, they need to get out more, these people, I think.
Gabby Reese.
Yeah.
Come on. Have you ever seen female sand volleyball?
Right. I mean, right.
Youch.
It's basically softcore porn right on the beach. So
I think you're right. I think these people don't get out much.
Yeah,
they remind me of what's his name that made the movie from Kajikistan or whatever.
Oh yeah,
you know who I'm talking about. Yeah, my wife with the vagine, it hang to a knee. I think that's what
they need to, you know, they need to get some AOL dial up or something and go on the internet. I mean, if they think this girl's too beautiful to compete, I just don't.
It was nutty. It was a nutty story.
It's crazy. It's just crazy.
It was. All right, next. Update on the Obama lawsuit, Francis.
Shocker. The House Republicans, who obviously own the House, voted to allow Boehner's lawsuit to go forward, thus teeing up the next nail in the Republican presidential coffin. So the lawsuit's going to go forward. I don't know what the Senate will do with it. I don't. They have to. I think they vote next. If Harry Reid was smart, he'd let them vote. And he'd tell a couple of his freshman senators, just go ahead and vote for that. You know, and let Boehner sue. Because nothing rallies people around the flag like attacking the president. I mean, this is how you lose elections 101 by the Republican Party. And they've already written the textbook. So, I just don't get it. I can't believe someone's not grabbing Boehner around the neck and saying, bro, why are you handing it to him? All you're going to do, you're not going to win, number one, because on legal merit, from what people are saying, what I've read, this is going nowhere. So why are you giving him the sideshow? Right? And it's already starting to pop up. Boehner and Cantor, I read a thing today, are going to be remembered as the guys who told Joplin, Missouri, after that devastating tornado, we don't have the money to help you, but has spent billions on fictitious votes to repeal Obamacare and bring lawsuits against the president. So, you know, this is just not going to play. And you know as well as I do, the message don't have to be true.
Oh, yeah.
You just got to create a message they can't refute.
Say the message is rarely true.
Right. But all you have to do, you know, from a PR standpoint, is create a message that can't be refuted by the opposition. And who's better at creating messages that are almost impossible to win in the media than Democrats? And who's terrible at getting the truth out there in a way that people will believe it? Republicans. This is like right in the wheelhouse of them. They're praying for this lawsuit.
Yeah.
I don't, this is just so unsmart politically. I don't get it. Not only that, let's just talk about the Speaker of the House. Is the strongest person in the government after the president. Yes, the Vice President is next in line for the presidency, but the Speaker is third. And everyone kind of understands that the Vice President is just kind of, you know, it's Joe Biden.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So.
It's crazy Uncle Joe.
So, John Boehner's saying, I can't use my office to reel in the president and check the powers of the executive branch, which is my duty, I'm going to have to use the courts and sue him. That's what he's saying. Whether that's the truth or not is irrelevant. That's what he's saying, and that's what's being spun.
Well,
and that's how it's
I don't
going
even
to
know
play.
That that's what he's saying. That's the message he's sending.
Right. Though. No. Yeah. That, yeah, I agree. No, yeah. He's not saying that. Right. I'm sorry.
Right. That's the message he's sending.
That's the message. That's what it appears to be. And that's how it's going to be played, and that's how it's going to be spun. And that's how it's going to choke off their chances. It's just one more knot in the rope. I mean, you know, and this next thing we're going to talk about in the impeachment is the next knot. So, I mean, I've never seen, I've used this analogy so many times, it's already tired. But I've just never seen a group of people who could turn an uncontested layup into a challenge three-pointer at the buzzer. I've just never seen it before.
Yeah. It needs some help. But we're going to take this back up during hardcore politics. All right, next.
It's 2 seconds.
Fran, you want to talk about Reagan book?
Yeah. If you didn't get to join, you've missed your window because it's already been pulled down. Conservatives started Reagan book because Facebook was too liberal. This is not an Onion story, and I'm not making this up. This is true. The website was out there for a day. Reagan book was for conservatives who wanted to enjoy social media because I guess they couldn't enjoy Facebook. I mean, you're a conservative, and you like showing us pictures of your succotash that you eat at night. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure your boys really enjoy those dinner pictures you send out. So I don't know why other conservatives couldn't enjoy it, but apparently they couldn't. So they created Reagan book for conservatives. And of course, you know, Tony, you're pretty savvy social media wise. You know what's happening next. You know, the trolls came out.
It's getting submarine.
Oh,
yeah.
God. You know, and they're saying all kinds of things. A lot of it true, but I mean, it's not something conservatives want to hear that, you know, Reagan raised taxes 13 times. And, you know, I mean, they're just annihilating these people. So, you know, the trolls are on there doing what trolls do on social media. They just stir up trouble. That's what they want to do. And so it got, I think it started violating the terms of service. And so they took it down. So conservatives are back to using Facebook like the rest of us.
Well, thank God. All right.
Reagan book, baby.
Reagan book. That shotgun in the news. We're not done with social media. Let's explore that a little next.
Tony, treat me rough and give me that bully pulpit.
Fran, I am going to take a few minutes to talk about social media night because you know what? You know I'm a social media guy. I love social media. Look, I've been known to put a picture of a nice grilled ribeye on there before, whether people like it or not.
I always feel blessed when I see that.
All I want to say is, look, I'm tired of your freaking cat pictures. Not you, Francis. Just in general. I'm tired of the freaking cat pictures.
Okay, for the record, I don't do cat pictures, all right? Let me just say
I'm tired of you sharing pictures of Indians and making immigration quotes like that has any sense of reality. All right? Here's all I want to say. It's Facebook, and you know what? You can put any shit you want to put on Facebook. Try to be original once in a while. How about you? Huh? Come on. Hey, I put pictures of my grandson on there. Other than that, it's usually confined to my razor-sharp wit. I try to be funny. I try to be entertaining. I try to put things on there that make people think. I don't share other people's stuff. Ever. Okay? Try to be original. Tell me something you know. Tell me a thought that you have, if indeed you have one. Because if you don't, I'm going to Reagan book, Francis. I swear to God. It's a sharing medium, and it's great, but all you get is cat pictures, first world problems, and shared bullshit from other people. All right? I miss the days of early email when you at least get a good conspiracy once in a while. A guy's in the back seat of the mall, and he's going to cut your head off. So just please try to be original once in a while, and that's tonight's bully pulpit.
Let's get hardcore.
Fran, you want to talk about a little impeachment blues?
Yeah, I mean, it's becoming, you know, it already was a clown car already. It's just becoming more of one. And there are more clowns being stuffed into it. Now, what you're getting is Republicans saying, well, it's the Democrats who want impeachment, not us. And the Democrats saying, oh, no, we don't, no. Republicans, they want to impeach the president, and they want to impeach him over Benghazi, impeach him over this, impeach him over that. Personally, let me just say to start out, I think the IRS scandal rises to the level of an impeachable offense. It's the only one, what are we up to, five or six scandals that are going right now?
Right.
That really rises to that level of illegal wrongdoing, of the president using his personal power to intimidate and disenfranchise his political enemies. This is the same thing that they cornered Nixon on, and how they eventually got him to resign. But they were going to impeach him, and they had the votes. This time they don't have the votes, and they don't really have the evidence yet to really make a good case. But that hasn't stopped people from saying we need to do it. Boehner, Cantor, who's now out, and a bunch of others, they're too chicken to do it. We need to. They should impeach. And Sarah Palin has gone out there and said, we need to impeach. John McCain has said, I disagree with her. And then went on to say, we don't have the votes for it. So you can infer from that whatever you want. So it's just really just become this ridiculous hot potato that nobody wants now. Everyone's saying the other side wants to impeach. Karl Rove is on record as saying that the Republicans should be ashamed of themselves for even bringing this up.
Well, Boehner called it a scam started by Democrats at the White House,
which really isn't true. I mean,
you know, McConnell said basically the same thing.
Well, right, because that has to be their talking point because they've got to get this off the burner.
But
for obvious reasons, right? I mean, yeah, the clear issue here is if they keep pressing this, or if they keep getting tagged with it, it's going to hurt their chances to get
and that's
win
what
the White House.
Republican leaders are saying is that. Democrats are bringing this up because they want people to think this is our agenda, but it's not.
Democrats want the issue, right?
You know, so, Pelosi and Reid have both brought it up unprompted in different interviews.
But that's smart politics, right? Because that's you're going to win an election like that.
If they can make people believe...
What they're making people... Here's the problem.
That Republicans actually want this.
Google Benghazi, and you'll hear people. You'll hear Republicans.
Sure.
You'll hear Republican congressmen on Fox saying, oh, he should be impeached. You follow these guys on Twitter, and they'll tweet out, oh, he needs to be impeached. Joe Miller, who was an unsuccessful campaign for senator in Alaska, is yelling about he needs to be impeached. So there are Republican voices out there who have been saying that this is not a Democratic scam. What the Democrats are doing is taking these guys who may not necessarily be in the leadership of the Republican Party, but they are representative of Republicans, and saying, yeah, look, they want to waste your time with an impeachment that's going to go nowhere. And they're right. It will go nowhere.
Right.
And so the Democrats want to use that as a stick to beat the Republicans and win the election.
Well, I would agree with that quote, though, that it's still a Democratic scam, because having some minor league Republicans saying he should be impeached is not saying we're generating an initiative to impeach him.
But it's not,
especially when the leadership of the party have said there's no initiative to impeach the president. I mean, they've been clear on that.
Right. Well, that's true. But how is it a Democratic scam? So, They're not the ones who started the impeachment over Benghazi.
Some Republican in the House says, I think he should be impeached, then the Democrats go, they're trying to impeach the president. Well, they're not.
But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But how is that a scam, though? When these guys, one after the other, line up for their fundraising dollars on Fox News.
Because you know and I know that the average listener out there that hears Harry Reid or Nancy Pelosi say the Republicans are trying to impeach the president, there's a lot of people out there that's going to take that on its face value.
Right, just as there are a lot of people out there who watch Fox and say, yeah, I agree with the guys on Hannity's show who say he should be impeached over Benghazi. I agree with my congressman when he says that or when he tweets that out. I mean, you say minor level, but these guys are voted... And they're congressmen, U.S. congressmen. They're not minor league Republicans. They may not be in the top three in leadership, but they're not minor leaguers. They're elected U.S. congressmen who are using the word impeachment. Now, is there an initiative to impeach a president? No, I agree with you. Clearly there won't be, because McConnell and those guys are smarter than that. They don't have the votes, like McCain said, number one. Number two, there's no evidence. And third, Benghazi's not an impeachable offense. He didn't commit any crimes there. There were no crimes committed in Benghazi. The president didn't kill those four guys. And there's no proof that they disallowed help to go that night. There's no proof of that. If you could prove that, that's another story. If they withheld protection on purpose for the purpose of having those guys killed, now you can impeach them. It's the IRS scandal where he is,
right,
in my opinion,
there.
Benghazi's
about negligence. The IRS,
right, and guys died, right?
Right?
So that's more sexy than this IRS issue, which is actually where he broke the law. So, but no one's yelling about that. They go on to yell about Benghazi because it stirs their base, whoever that may be, whether it be the Tea Party or the establishment, and they say the word impeachment. That's their fault. That's not a Democratic.
Well,
they don't make that out of whole cloth. They have a Republican.
Here's what Pfeiffer said. He told reporters he would not discount the possibility of impeachment, noting that Boehner's lawsuit against the president has opened the door to Republicans possibly considering impeachment at some point in the future. He knows that's bullshit.
Right.
Right? But that's what he's going to say. So just because, I mean, you're saying, well, they shouldn't even utter the word.
No, I'm not saying they shouldn't. I'm saying if you're going to throw words around like that and want to sound tough in front of your constituents, then you have to be prepared for the political football that you just threw into the field. And that's what they did. You can't then blame Democrats for not grabbing that and saying, we're going to hurt them during the election with that.
No, I can't blame them. I mean, I don't think Republicans should be saying the word.
But you wouldn't do it the other way around.
I don't think Republicans could be saying the word, but it doesn't excuse Democrats, like I said, from misrepresenting what people say, which is clearly what they're doing.
So now you're saying we shouldn't have presidential elections. I mean, that's what you were saying, that we shouldn't misrepresent shit.
I mean,
we've
got to put the issue out there. We've got to push the issue out there.
That's ridiculous. I mean, to say that we can't then jump on some idiot comments... I mean, that's how it goes. I mean, are we going to then blame Republicans when they do the same thing the minute a Democrat says
something? It only depends on what side of the fence you're on as to whether it's right or wrong. And I'm saying, I think
I'm
Democrats...
I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm saying that's political football. That's how it's played.
Sure.
Democrats are going to do something likewise as stupid, and Republicans are going to take that and run with it. Because that's how the game's played. But you can't turn around and say, well... That's a scam. It's not a scam.
If I was a Republican, that's exactly what I would say.
Yeah.
I would say the Democrats are misleading you in saying that the Republicans have an initiative to impeach the president. That is nonsense.
And they are unable, for whatever reason, to sell that message. because the message that's being sold is Republicans are trying to impeach the president, and this goes back to the lawsuit, because he is right. The lawsuit, now, he's not right on the legal ground, because like you say, he knows that's crap, but he is right. The lawsuit opens up the whole playbook to use this impeachment business every time a Republican says impeachment. See, look, Boehner's got a lawsuit going. How far can they be from trying to impeach? Yeah. It's called spin. Both sides
right,
do it.
Sure.
The problem is you've got too many firebrands in the Republican Party too willing to go on Fox News to raise money and shoot off their mouth and sound tough. Well, yeah, he needs to be impeached for that.
Well, I mean, this just goes back to what you always say about people that don't read past the headlines.
Right.
Well, people need to.
But that's what. But people don't. And we know that they don't. So you've got to be careful about what you say. This is not some off the cuff.
Oh, I agree with that.
You know what I mean? Like, when you're talking about impeachment about the president, you've got to understand that that's a serious thing that you're saying. And you can't think that no one's going to touch that. How could you expect that no one's going to touch that? And that's what Karl Rove is saying. You guys need to shut the hell up. You should be ashamed that you're saying that word on the air, because all you're doing is handing them ammunition.
Well, I would agree with that. B, I don't know how much that matters, because the last three presidents in the last 2 years of their terms, impeachment was always bandied about.
True, that's true.
So this has become almost... standard.
Well, but it was an operating unusual procedure. Scenario, though, in that we had three guys in a row score second terms. That's unprecedented in history to have three guys in a row do that. So, yeah, I mean,
it's almost becoming standard.
Yeah, I guess it is. I mean, yeah.
It's standard for the last three presidents,
yeah,
anyways.
Yeah,
we're gonna impeach him. We're gonna impeach him. Yeah. No, they're gonna try to impeach the president.
I mean, right. The Republicans did it with Bush when the Democrats wanted to impeach him for lying us into Iraq, which was the charge. Clinton got impeached. I mean, it wasn't like...
Yeah, he actually did.
He actually got impeached, yeah. And he beat the rap. So,
bless his heart.
So that really doesn't count. Certainly that was an impeachable offense. So he got impeached, and he redefined the word is for us. But here's really my underlying problem with this. Again... This is the birth certificate issue all over again. You got people beating the drum over this stupid issue, and we're missing the bigger issues. Now we got people beating the drum, and I'm not saying Benghazi is a stupid issue. It is. It's a serious issue. People need to be held accountable because guys died. Whether or not it was preventable is a discussion that has to be had, and as we have lamented for a year,
yes,
it's not being had. But the impeachable issue is IRS, and no one's talking about it because we're all over here. You know, we're distracted again, right?
I agree.
And the administration is going right along. Like, yes, let's pump the air into this impeachment fire, because if someone really, if a Bernstein or a Woodward was out there pulling the strings on this IRS issue, you're damn sure that we'd be in front of an impeachment court right now, because there were laws broken by the president himself directed. The emails missing or the tapes missing.
I don't disagree with you on that point.
And that just drives me insane.
What I would say is, if I was running anybody's campaign, I would say, look, it's August. Shut up and win the election. Mm-hmm. And then you can do what you want. Win the Senate. Hold the House.
Right.
And then the last 2 years, you can beat them about the head and shoulders at your will.
Right.
Don't get hung up on this nonsense. It's not nonsense. But politically, you cannot get tripped over a tripwire and lose the bigger picture.
Right.
And that goes
to my overarching point that I always beat Republicans about, is they're not good at politics. They're just not. They're not good at the game of politics. Let me say that. Because they just can't. It, 8 months ago, this looked like a slam friggin' dunk.
I'll stick to my talking point, is that the problem with the Republicans now is they do not have a clearly defined leader of the party.
Well, that may be why they're not
ideologically or in a popular sense.
I would agree.
They do not have a guy that all the Republicans look to for their cues.
Right.
And they just don't. And until they get that.
Right. There's too many loose. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
Too many loose ends.
All right. And that's tonight's Hardcore Politics. Let's take a look at our culture clash. Thank you.
to let me know. Should I stay or should I go?
All right, Fran, tonight I just wanted to kind of revisit a little bit the ongoing immigration crisis we had in our problem. It's become local for us. As we know, 700-some, 760, something like that, immigrants were dumped, unceremoniously dumped in the state of Tennessee. In the middle of the night. And so our governor, Bill Haslam, who is Dana Carvey's brother, not really. He just seems that way.
Really? Not really.
Wrote the president a letter. So, you know, and I'm in tune with social media, as you are, Fran. And, you know, I just hear all the, if you're against immigration, you're against Native Americans. Right. You're a bigot. You're a hater. Right. You're cold-hearted. Okay, well, let's just, our governor, who's a good governor, Haslam.
But it was not told that these people were coming.
No. They were really just dumped in the middle of the night. The governor wasn't informed. He wasn't consulted or anything. So he wrote these seven questions to the president, and I want to read them. Question one, what was the process for determining that these children should be released to sponsors in Tennessee? Question two, how did you locate and evaluate the fitness of their sponsors? Question three, what medical screenings were the children given prior to their release in Tennessee? Question four, what is the official immigration status of these children and their sponsors? Question five, in what localities are these children now residing?
Doesn't even know where they are.
Question six, what are the legal requirements concerning the provision of services for these children while they are in the state? Question seven, what additional information is available on these children, such as age and health status? Question eight, how long will these children be in Tennessee? Those are the eight questions our governor asked the president of the United States. I would suggest that if you're a bleeding heart liberal, these are all pretty damn good questions to ask about 760 children and families that were dumped off in our state.
I don't care what your politics are. Why wouldn't you want to know those eight questions? Number two is the big one to me. That's the big one. This happened pretty damn quick.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had friends who adopted children. It's years of hoops and forms and interviews. I mean, I've had to write recommendations. And yet, in a week, 700 kids got placed in Tennessee. And that's just Tennessee. We're not even talking about all the other places these kids got put. And somehow these sponsors were cleared.
Right. Where are they? Who were they given to? What condition are they in? What do they need?
So this just kind of goes back to, again, a common thread that we keep bringing up about the president. A guy I voted for in 08 and didn't vote for in 12 for this very reason. He clearly shows that he can campaign. Even my nephew, who's in law school and a diehard conservative, has told me, bar none, this guy's the best campaigner in the history of presidential politics. The governing, not so much.
Right.
Because here's a simple governing tool, right? This guy's a great communicator, supposedly. Pick up the phone. Sure, he's got Nashville on speed dial, right? Say, Bill, 700 kids. What can you do for me? Where can you put them? Come on, bro. Do me a solid.
Yeah.
And you know Bill Haslam, and you know Tennessee. Hey, what a foul spot for these people.
He's a reasonable guy.
Right.
Yeah, he is.
But instead, because he's a Republican governor, you decide maybe you don't want to hear him say, well, you can't, I'm not taking them. Which never would have happened. You just dump them off like guys from the drunk tank being dumped in a different precinct.
Yeah, in the take it
of
to the
night.
County line.
Right.
Don't come back in my county.
Right, because I don't want to do the paperwork. It's incredibly simplistic of how this could have been handled.
It's mind-boggling because, you know, as you alluded to earlier, it would have made both Bill Haslam and Obama look better
if
they would have said, hey, I talked to the governor of Tennessee, and we worked something out for these people.
That's right.
But not going to do that.
Hey. And again, the second question just struck home for me. Like, how do you know you've not put these kids with some maniac?
Right.
Some undocumented sex offender. How do you know that, you know what I mean? It's 700 kids. The odds are some of these kids are going to wind up in a pretty bad situation. Physically, mentally, sexually. You know, it just doesn't make sense. And this goes back to what we said before. This was a dumb policy to begin with. This is why you don't say any child under the age of 18 will get free passes into this country and not be returned. Because now we have these problems. Because you can't let them stay in concrete bunkers on the Texas border, right?
Right.
So what are you, what's your other choice? You got to find homes for them or somewhere.
Right.
But this is not the way you do it. And yeah, are we against immigration because we were looking out for the health and welfare of these kids? I just can't believe people would make that charge.
I don't know.
How could they make it with a straight face?
I don't know.
And then not be themselves charged with not caring about the welfare of these children. Those are the people who don't care about the welfare of these kids. The ones who say, well, just dump them in the states and let the states take care of them. And as Bill Haslam, our governor, brings up quite correctly, how am I to take care of them? What is their juxtaposition based on their the legal standing? What services can I offer and can I not? Do they get hospitalization? Do they not get hospitalization?
Right.
What is their
Where
health
are
status?
They? So I might be able to even provide
right,
these
I don't
services.
Even know. Right. I don't even know. Can I get them a can of friggin' Carnation instant milk?
What, yeah.
Do they have health risks that I need to be able to? Do we have HIV patients among them? Do we have Ebola patients among them? You know what I mean? Like, these are some common questions that you would think any human being would want to know. And if I was dumping my kids on you, I would say, hey, Tony, and be aware, he's got this, so don't do... You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I give more instruction to my babysitter than what the government gave to the governor of Tennessee, dropping 700 kids on his doorstep in the middle of the night, and he still is unaware of their current location. That's criminal.
It is.
That's just
I
criminal.
It is. Yeah.
I don't...
Give them a bus ticket. And if you read any of the stories on CNN, which they're trying to engender sympathy, it's not very sympathetic to find that what's happening to these people.
And what's more surprising is there are people bashing Governor Haslam.
Yeah.
It's like, are you serious? Do you not have children? How could you be bashing this guy for the questions he's asking? Because if that was your damn kid, if you ran into a problem where you were unable to care for your kid because you were hospitalized or something... And the government had to do something with your child. You'd want them asking those damn. I guarantee you want them asking number two.
Yeah.
I guarantee it, right? But you'd want him asking those eight questions because that shows that he at least gives a damn.
Well, you know, we'll make a big issue on the news of a couple of people leaving their kids in a hot car, but drop 700 kids in Tennessee and somehow they don't matter.
Right, and if you think there's a problem with that, then you hate immigration. You hate the United States.
I mean, look.
You know, I've said that to you sometimes when you say stuff, why do you hate America? But this is like, this is just beyond stupidity. To me, we've crossed over the border into criminality. I just think it's criminal what they're doing to these kids, letting them across knowing the situation that was waiting for them when they crossed the border, and now how they're handling them. I mean, it's just,
unbelievable.
It leaves you speechless.
It does. All right.
Are you kidding me?
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 Are you fucking kidding me?
Tonight's Are You Kidding Me, Fran? I'll start us off. We got Jesse the Body Ventura, as I like to call him, Jesse the Blowhard Ventura, sued this Kyle, dead Navy SEAL, for defamation of character because the guy put a book out that said he knocked down Ventura in a bar at a wake for a SEAL, and Ventura was talking bad about the country and Bush and the SEALs, and so then he won a settlement today, $1 million. I mean, what?
He may have won the money, but he didn't win the battle.
Are you kidding me?
I
guess he thought he was protecting his reputation. To me, he just ruined it.
Personally, I thought he was ambulance chasing. That's what it felt like to me.
Yeah.
Like he was looking for a payday, and this was an easy way to get one. Look, man, he was the governor of Minnesota. It's not like that job paid a lot of money.
I mean, the dude has been, you know, I don't want to call him a renaissance man, but I mean, he's one of those guys that's done a lot of things. He was a Navy SEAL. He was a professional wrestler and became the governor of Minnesota, and now he's a television personality. And now you do this, and to me, you just look like a jackass.
Like a money-grabbing jackass. Absolutely agree with that. Former Navy guy, I mean, just, you know. I don't know about you, but I mean, the first things I got taught when I went on the flight line in the Air Force, don't shit in your own nest, bro.
Right.
And he's crapping all over.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't even know about this story if he hadn't sued the guy,
right?
Right,
right, so, right, right. Right, Right. How bad could his character have been defamed if no one knows that this guy actually did that? I mean, you know, the book sold 5 copies. It's not like, it's not like it was,
So that's my tonight's Are You Kidding Me? What do you got, Fran?
Bro, this one's personal. This is personal to the UFUF, the podcast. The GOP, there was a bill put forth, you know, and look, understand from time to time in the House and the Senate, they put forth bills that really are meaningless, require no money, and are just to say we're going to recognize whoever, right?
Okay.
And that's what this was. It was a bill saying we want to recognize Pope Francis for all the work he's done with the poor. And, you know, and we've told stories here on...
Yes.
We have his statue here.
We have the solar pope right here.
The solar pope giving us solar blessings from his hand as it waves. But how he snuck out in the middle of the night to elude his quote-unquote secret service to spend the night with the poor and indigent in Italy and bring them food and stuff. I mean, this guy's the real deal, right? I mean, he is the real deal. So they put together a bill, a Republican put together a bill, and to honor Pope Francis the First. Got 12 Republicans to sign it in the House. No, so, I mean, there are hundreds of Republicans in the House.
Mm-hmm.
So the bill failed. The bill failed. Let that sink in for a second. A bill to honor Pope Francis failed. So, of course, you know, it's a slow news day, relatively. I mean, outside the Israeli news. So some reporters descended on the House and said, well, why did you... Oh, he's for income equality, and he said trickle-down economics is improper, and but no, he's too liberal. He's too liberal. We can't honor him. Really? I mean, you got to be a psycho, don't you? I mean... It's just a bill to say, hey, we appreciate this guy setting the example on how you treat the downtrodden in this country. He's not asking. The Pope's not going around saying governments need to lift these people up with their own money.
I don't want to make excuses for him, Fran, but maybe they were listening to some old Sinead O'Connor albums.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Who knows what the hell they're listening to? Surely it's not their constituents because, oh my God, how can you... He's too liberal, therefore I'm not going to... I mean, that just shows how moronic our party system has become.
Everything has become politicized.
It's just so stupid. That is terrible. Oh, my gosh. How do these people expect to win elections? I just can't.
Not happy about the way they're treating the Pope.
All that to say, the bill never made it out of the House, so the Senate didn't get the vote on it. And so no accolades from the U.S. government for Pope Francis. I'm sure he's crushed right now over that a bunch of nincompoops. You know, can't get out of their own way.
That is awful.
Good job, boys. Good effort.
Completely awful. Okay, now it's time to get out your home versions of Who Said That.
I need this.
We have a special edition. Again, I'm sending out a caution. This could blow your mind. I don't want anybody to come out of this.
Get the kids out of the room.
That's right. All right, let's get ready.
Who said that? Who said that?
All right, Fran, tonight's episode... edition of Who Said That. Here's what we're going to do. This is dumb political dumb celebrity political quotes. So this is celebrities that are making quotes about politics or, you know, political issues. But it's got the double entendre because I'm going to read you the quote, then I'm going to give you 3 choices.
Okay.
Not only do you have to pick who said the quote from the 3 choices I give you, you have to pick the movie that they starred in together. See, I'm pulling this right out of the way.
Yeah, you are.
All right. I don't. This shit doesn't come to me easy. I got to tell you, you need an epiphany to come up with this kind of stuff. All right. So, the first quote, and here it is: "America is dumb. It's like a dumb puppy that has big teeth that can bite and hurt you. It's aggressive." And your choices are Johnny Depp, Winona Ryder, Anthony Michael Hall. America's dumb. It's like a dumb puppy that has big teeth that can bite and hurt you. It's aggressive. Johnny Depp, Winona Ryder, Anthony Michael Hall.
Now, so I'm going to guess a name. And then...
So you guess the name first.
Okay, so I'm going to say Johnny Depp.
It is Johnny Depp.
Okay, wow. All right, good.
Okay. So what's the movie?
Oh, that it came from?
Let's no, not the movie that it came from, the movie that those three actors starred in together.
Oh, balls. All right.
Yeah.
And Anthony Michael Hall.
Johnny Depp, Winona Ryder, Anthony Michael Hall. You already guessed the quote. It was from Johnny Depp. Do I need to give you the buzzer soon?
Not yet.
It's a tough one.
It's all it is, so.
I'll give them to you in reverse order. Anthony Michael Hall, Winona Ryder, Johnny Depp.
Thanks, that helps. It's not Gilbert Grape, is it?
It is not.
Was that a Johnny Depp movie?
I think it was, but this movie's Edward Scissorhands.
Oh!
Edward Scissorhands.
Anthony Michael Hall was in that.
Yes, he was.
Did not know that. Okay. Wouldn't have got that no matter what.
Okay. So second.
Do I get like half point? What do I get for
that? Yeah. Give yourself a 0.5.
All right.
Second quote. It's like a really bad Disney movie, The Hockey Mom. Oh, I'm just a hockey mom from Alaska, and she's president. She's facing down Vladimir Putin and using the folksy stuff she learned at the hockey rink. It's absurd. And your choices are Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, Robin Williams. So I'll read you the quote again.
I don't need it, but okay.
It's like a really bad Disney movie, The Hockey Mom. Oh, I'm just a hockey mom from Alaska, and she's president. She's facing down Vladimir Putin and using the folksy stuff she learned at the hockey rink. It's absurd. Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, Robin Williams.
That's got to be Matt Damon.
That is Matt Damon.
Goodwill Hunting.
Goodwill Hunting. Yes. All right. Great job.
All right, so I got a full point for that, right?
All right, full point for that. Okay, number three. I'm going to be real straight with you. I am not happy about the way things are. I pray for President Obama every single day. But tell you what, homie made his bed, now he's got to lay in it. And your choices are Stephen Baldwin, Kevin Spacey, Kevin Pollak. And the quote is, I'm going to be real straight with you. I am not happy about the way things are. I pray for President Obama every single day. But tell you what, homie made his bed, now he has got to lay in it. Stephen Baldwin, Kevin Spacey, Kevin Pollak.
It's got to be the Baldwin kid.
It is Stephen Baldwin. Okay.
Well, I'm nailing these quotes.
Yes.
Baldwin, Pollock, and Spacey.
Baldwin, Pollock, and Spacey.
Is that Usual Suspects?
The Usual Suspects.
Oh, my God, dude. I pulled that right out of my ass. Oh, my God. All right.
Francis, eating it up. All right.
Holy cow. All right.
Here we go. Number four. It is a socialistic Marxist teaching, and with it, little by little, he rapes this nation, taking down our defenses, making new language for Islamic extremists.
Jesus.
A little severe on that quote.
A little bit, yeah.
And your choices are John Voight, Burt Reynolds, Ned Beatty.
Oh.
And the quote is, it is a socialistic Marxist teaching, and with it, and I might add that he's talking about Obama.
I kind of got that. Yeah.
It is a socialistic Marxist teaching, and with it, little by little, he rapes this nation, taking down our defenses, making new language for the Islamic extremists.
I just don't think Burt Reynolds could put that quote together. I'm going to say John Voight.
It is John Voight.
Burt Reynolds,
Ned Beatty.
This Deliverance, isn't it?
Squeal like a pig for me, baby.
That scene. Oh, my God. I can't ever look at that baby the same again. Oh, my God.
Fran, dude, 3 for 3, you've got them all. And the first one, you got the quote.
Oh, is that it? Are we done?
No, we got one more.
Okay.
Here we go. Republican comes in the dictionary just after reptile and just above repugnant. Republican comes in the dictionary just after reptile and just above repugnant. And your choices are Julia Roberts, Richard Gere, Jason Alexander.
Ooh.
Julia Roberts, Richard Gere, Jason Alexander. Republican comes in the dictionary just after reptile and just above repugnant. Julia Roberts, Richard Gere, God. Jason Alexander.
Is that Julia Roberts saying that? Julia Roberts?
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
Julia Roberts it is.
It is, okay.
It is Julia Roberts.
Well, that's got to be, what's the hooker movie?
The hooker movie.
Pretty Woman.
Pretty Woman. That is it. The movie that sent the message, Listen, little girl, it doesn't matter if you're a whore. Just hold out for a billionaire John. Yeah, and your dreams can still come true. You know, I'm always fascinated how they talk about demeaning women and the war against women, and they made a movie that said you can be a whore and still make it big if you meet a John.
They made up money.
And I hate it. I hate Julia Roberts, and I hate that they attached that beautiful song to this awful movie.
What beautiful song is that?
Pretty Woman.
Oh. Dude, I'm basking in the glow here, my friend.
You should be. 4 out of 4, you got both.
I got all the quotes. I just missed the movie on
all the
one.
Quotes and missed one movie. Edward Scissorhands. Damn it. That is...
I am trying to picture Anthony Michael Hall and Edward Scissorhands, and I cannot see it. We'll have to Google that up. That's a pretty hateful quote from Julia Roberts. That's a little stunning.
That is hateful.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I mean, that's...
Well, and the thing about it is...
I mean, John Boyce was no picnic either, but that's...
Well, to me, the difference is, if you say something... There's lots of hateful things that are said about presidents.
Yeah.
But when you start saying hateful things about Democrats or Republicans, those people could be your neighbors.
Right.
Or they could be people who go see your movies.
Right. Or absolutely are people who go see your movies, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
and,
good.
That's yeah, right. So that is a hateful thing. Francis, I am so...
I'm spent, dude. I'm teen-ax spent, dude.
I see a little... Yeah. Little wisp coming off the noggin there. Yeah. I know some of our people are probably just laying prone because have crossed circuits.
Because you popped me right in the mouth on that first one, and I thought, I got to figure out these movie connections. Like, that's really where I went. I thought, I bet I can get the quotes. Is the movies I'm going to have to dial in on.
All right, another beautiful episode of Who Said That?
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Fran, what's your sign of the apocalypse tonight?
Oh, brother. Let me just say before we get rolling here, 3 more mysterious craters appear in Siberia. That's our honorable mention apocalypse.
We have been talking about that.
We talked about the one last time. They found 3 more. So all you climate deniers, suck on that.
Giant holes in Siberia.
So mine, we're back to outer space, bro. They're sending us signals. And that's not a metaphor. They're actually sending a signal from the Perseus star cluster, which is a cluster that bears the most resemblance to our own solar system. There's a signal emanating from the middle of that cluster that the top people in the field who study this crap say, right now, it's being generated by matter that is unknown to us, and its point of origin is completely undetectable. It's coming, bro. I'm telling you. I've been running down the space-ocean connection. This is the next installment. Now we're getting freaky signals that we can't dial down from matter that they cannot identify. Unknown matter creating this signal. We had that Russian physicist say within 20 years we will actually make contact. This could be the start.
And you know my take on that. But I'm going to support you tonight, even though I could say you've got a signal from shit you have no idea what it is and where it comes from. We've got a signal. But there's been a magnificent, and I know you mock these, crop circle found in Bavaria.
Oh, because I know how they're made.
There is a magnificent crop circle found in Bavaria. What I think should happen is somebody should go in that crop circle, then listen for the signal.
Yeah, right.
Yes,
it's got to, maybe it just needs to line up. That's right.
What the hell? They're telling you where to go to listen to the damn thing.
What does this crop circle look like? It's a giant penis, isn't it?
No.
I guess that wouldn't really be a circle.
It's. I'll Google it. We'll Google it before you go. It is.
Bro, come on. How do you come without the picture?
I think geometrically, it's impossible for humans to have made that.
Really?
No, not really, but I think that's funny to say.
Now you got people like, Googling this sucker.
It's like when you say you saw Bigfoot and 20 people will believe you no matter what.
Oh, hey, I come from the land of the Jersey Devil, bro. We believe in Bigfoot.
Oh, that's right. Hey, we'll talk about the Ohio Grassman, and like I say, people will go looking for it. The Ohio Grassman, don't mock that.
I've never heard it.
Every area in the country.
The Grassman. You're making
it up. The Grassman. No. Google it, man. Grassman. Okay. People actually have searched for the thing.
Literally a man of grass.
No, Bigfoot. That's their term for Bigfoot.
Oh. See, the Jersey Devil is not Bigfoot. It's
right. I know
it's
that.
It's a separate entity.
But I mean, every area has got some term for the equivalent of Bigfoot. Okay. Like down here, what do they call it? The skunk ape, right? In Tennessee, it's called a skunk ape.
I have never heard that.
Come on, Francis.
I thought everyone just called it Bigfoot.
No, down here it's called the skunk ape.
The skunk ape.
Skunk ape. Well, no, not just down here. I think generally across the South they use that term skunk ape.
No wonder they lost the war. God help
yeah.
me.
So, I'm gonna have to
I'm gonna be burning up Google tonight, my friend.
I have to get you caught up on the paranormal lore. All right, wrapping up another fine episode of UF 57. Nice post over at Frank's Place about Anne Marie and her nocturnal dalliances.
Yeah, if you see my little daughter standing at the foot of my bed, or foot of your bed, should have locked your front door. She's getting out at night.
All right, folks. So thanks for listening. Thanks for stopping by. We'll be back next week with UF 58. And until then, stay safe, stay sharp, and we are out.
Until next time, stay unfiltered and unfettered.